ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This morning, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10 as we're continuing our in-depth study of the Gospel of John, and we're taking our time going through this. There's so much information in this Gospel, and the primary purpose is to show everyone that Jesus is Almighty God. I mean, over and over again, we see that. You know, I know so many people say, oh, Jesus never claimed to be God. Well, in the Gospel of John, almost every chapter is that challenge to the Jewish religious people and to us, who Jesus is. As we move into chapter 10 this morning, most of us know this as the Good Shepherd chapter. We're going to see the third I am statement by Jesus in this gospel in John 10:7 and John 10:9. We see Jesus say, I am the door. And then the fourth I am statement in the gospel of John is in John 10:11, where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And we'll look at that fourth one more next time. But I want you to see here this ego am I, or Jesus claiming that he's Almighty God, the great I am. What's happening here, obviously, in John chapter 10 is after the events of chapter 9, after Jesus healed the man who was born blind and his encounter with those Jewish religious leaders. And, you know, we saw it didn't end well. And then you come to this portion of Scripture, the Good Shepherd. And it's kind of interesting. Remember how we ended last time, where in verse 41 in John chapter 9, Jesus said, if you were blind, speaking to these Pharisees, these Jewish religious leaders, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. And again, that whole situation didn't end well, as Jesus tells these holy men of God, at least in their own minds, that they were in sin. They're blinded to the things of God. And here's chapter 10. They don't seem to fit together, but they do. In John chapter 9, Jesus is speaking to the religious leaders of Israel, and because of their rejection of him, they were in spiritual blindness to the things of God, like I said. They were the ones who were supposed to represent God to the people and the people to God, but they were false shepherds. And we're going to see this morning in John chapter 10, Jesus is going to speak of the good shepherd, the true shepherd, compared to those false shepherds, and that he is that door that we must go through. So they do fit very nicely, these two chapters. And I think, you know, for us, perspective is very important. You have to have a right understanding of the situation you're in, or you're going to be in trouble. And I think this picture of the good shepherd and the sheep is important for us to understand. You know, the reason I say that is we as sheep love to lead the shepherd, right? And that really never works. I think sometimes we, you know, yeah, there's a lot of farmers in our area. Most of us are not farmers. We don't care for sheep. So we miss the picture that's going on here. Philip Keller, in his book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, gives a good picture of what sheep are like. And in this section of the book, he speaks of sheep that are cast down. And the idea here is that sheep sometimes can't get up on their feet. They've fallen and they can't get up, you might say. And this is what he wrote. He said, even the largest, fattest, strongest, and sometimes healthiest sheep can become cast and be a casualty. The way it happens is this. A heavy, fat, or long-fleeced sheep will lie down comfortably in some little hollow or depression in the ground. It may roll on its side slightly to stretch out or relax, and suddenly the center of gravity in the body shifts so that it turns on its back far enough that the feet no longer touch the ground. It may feel a sense of panic and start to paw frantically. Frequently, this only makes things worse. It rolls over even further. Now it is quite impossible for it to regain its feet. And the only solution to this problem is when the shepherd comes along and stands them back up on their feet. If they don't, they'll die. The overall thrust of the book is that sheep are utterly helpless. They need a shepherd. They depend on a shepherd. I think that's why God calls us sheep, because we are so helpless. And he's the one who guides us, leads us, protects us, sets us back on our feet again, right? And we see Psalm 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. That's the perspective we need to have. The Lord is God, right? We're not. We're sheep, and we are the sheep of his pasture. And sheep have no natural defenses, right? I mean, how many of you have ever heard of killer sheep? I think there was, I don't know, I could be wrong, but I think there was this one science fiction movie where there actually were killer sheep, you know, jumping in cars and eating people. But that's science fiction. That is not a reality. You know, you don't see sheep terrorizing a town. Their biggest threat to us is when we're driving, they walk across the road. That's their biggest threat. And sheep get lost very easily. They will follow each other even over a cliff sometimes. They put themselves in danger. And we are really like these sheep. A few years back, there was a Christian counselor in town who wanted to see us as Christians as something other than sheep. This person wanted us to believe we're giraffes. It's the most bizarre concept because you won't find it anywhere in the Bible. I mean, I don't even know where you get that from, but, you know, it's, again, not what the Bible teaches. But what's the picture that's being painted? Well, think about it. Sheep are low to the ground, right? And they have to depend on a shepherd. But a giraffe towers over everything. So now we can see everything around us, and we can see where we're going, and we can get to where we want to go. Well, what does that leave out? Or who does that leave out? It leaves out God. Now, I'm the one who's driving the car, you might say. Again, that's so wrong. God calls us sheep for a specific reason, because we need a shepherd. It's that simple. There's a story a while back. The Camden, Maine Herald ran two photos on the same page, one of Camden's board of select men and town manager, the other of a flock of sheep. Unintentionally, the captions were reversed. Under the picture of the sheep, the caption identified them left to right as town officials. The one under the photo of the town fathers grouped around a table read, "The sheepfold. Naive and vulnerable, they huddle for security against the uncertainties of the outside world." Isn't that perfect for us? That's the way we are to see ourselves. The sheepfold, very naive and vulnerable, and we huddle for security against the uncertainties of the outside world. It's perfect. The exciting thing for me, and the thing that makes me relax, is that we have a shepherd. You know, sheep, if they're worried, anxious, will not lie down. They will not feed. They will not drink by any water because they're fearful. But when the shepherd comes, it gives them a peace, and they can relax, and they can lie down. I mean, read Psalm 23. That's exactly the picture for us. He makes us lie down beside still waters. He restores my soul. We need that. We need our good shepherd. And I've kind of broken the verses we're going to be looking at into four main points. They're in your bulletins. Enter through Jesus in John 10, verses 1 through 3. Follow Jesus in John 10, verses 4 through 5. Confusion in John 10, 6. And life and death in John 10, verses 7 through 10. So let's pick up John chapter 10, starting in verse 1, as we look at the good shepherd this morning. Jesus said this, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." Now, Jesus again is comparing the true shepherd, the good shepherd, with the false shepherds back in John chapter 9. Again, we aren't shepherds. I don't think any of us are. So sometimes it's hard to understand what Jesus' point is. And these Jewish shepherds at this time had two different kinds of sheepfolds, or places they would keep the sheep during the night for protection. And during those periods of time when there was a lot of rain, usually in winter and early spring, they would have their sheepfold in town or close to the town because there was abundance of green grass in the area. So why go farther out? And during the dry summer months, they would have to go to areas where there was more green grass for the sheep. And usually that was farther away from the home. The sheepfold area was a stone-walled enclosure. This is close to the town, about 6 or 8 feet high. Didn't have a roof or a door. Again, just located outside the city itself. Inside the enclosure were several different flocks of sheep. They would be kept. It was a communal sheepfold. And there would be one person who would serve as the door, sleeping there to protect the sheep from thieves and robbers. And, you know, after a day of the sheep grazing in the fields, the shepherds would lead their sheep to the sheepfold. Again, several flocks within this area. And then the shepherds would go home for the night and come back in the morning. The only one left to care for the sheep was the doorkeeper. And his responsibility was there to protect the sheep from animals getting in to kill them or thieves and robbers climbing over the walls to steal the sheep. If you were going to steal a sheep, it was kind of a two-man job usually. One man climbed over the wall and lifted the sheep up. I don't know how you lift a sheep up. One said they tossed them up. I don't know if you want to be the guy catching the sheep after they tossed them. I don't know. But they would be stealing the sheep. They would climb in to do that. That was a thief. A robber, though, would be more violent. He would attack the doorkeeper so he would be able to just then walk in and take the sheep. Here's the picture that Jesus is painting for us. It's kind of simple. The only way into the sheepfold is through the door. There was no other way. Think about what the false shepherds were doing, these false teachers, you might say. They were leading people away from God, stealing them away, and it was deadly for them. They were like thieves and robbers. And for the true shepherds of God, those who are caring for the people of God, bringing them to the God of the Bible, they come to the doorkeeper. They don't climb over the walls of a false religious system. That's what Clark said. He said, "Whoever therefore enters not by Jesus Christ into this pastoral office is no other than a thief and a robber in the sheepfold. And he enters not by Jesus Christ, who enters with a prospect of any other interest besides that of Christ and his people. Ambition, greed, love of ease, a desire to enjoy the conveniences of life, to be distinguished from the crowd, to promote the interests of one's family, and even the sole design of providing against want, these are all ways by which thieves and robbers enter into the church. And whoever enters by any of these ways, or by buying or selling these privileges, deserves no better name." You know, whatever we do, you don't have to be a pastor, but however you serve the Lord, may the love of Christ constrain us in all that we do. We serve him. Listen again to verses 2 and 3 here in John chapter 10, and I'll expound on it. Jesus said, "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." Again, they're close to the city. There's a lot of green grass in the fields outside the city. So these shepherds would go home at night after putting their sheep in the sheepfold, and the doorkeeper would watch them. In the morning, they would return. They'd come to the door of the sheepfold, and the doorkeeper knew who the shepherds were. He opened the door to them. And then the shepherd, interestingly enough, would call his sheep, call him by name. And the sheep recognized the voice of their shepherd, and they would get up and follow him. It's amazing. Think about several different flocks of sheep in there. You would think that one of them would go, "Well, I'm going out with these guys," right? But they didn't. They went with their shepherd because they knew his voice. If a stranger tried to call the sheep, he wouldn't follow. And many times, they would run away. They followed their shepherd. And that is such an important lesson for us, guys, to follow our shepherd, Jesus Christ. So many people today follow other shepherds. What do I mean by that? Oh, you've got to listen to this teaching by this teacher. We have it all wrong. He knows Hebrew, Greek. It's amazing what he has to say. You need to listen to this teacher. No, I need to listen to Jesus. I'm real sorry. Now, can I learn from teachers? Absolutely. That's why you guys are here. But if I'm saying things that are contrary to the scriptures, you don't listen to me, because then I'm a false shepherd. When the children of Israel were in the wilderness, wandering those 40 years, who or what was guiding them? What was the Shekinah glory? It was the presence of God. It was a pillar of fire by night, a cloud by day. And when that pillar of fire moved, or when that cloud moved over the Holy of Holies, the children of Israel knew it was time to pack up and follow. And then the Shekinah glory would lead them to their next destination, stop, and that's where they would set up camp. Well, after those 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, Moses passes off the scene, and now Joshua, Yeshua, is going to lead them into the promised land. And it wasn't the Shekinah glory. It wasn't the presence of God that led them in. Remember what led them in? It was the priest carrying what? Carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And as they dipped their foot into the Jordan River, the waters parted. Now let me ask you this. What was in the Ark of the Covenant? The Ten Commandments, the Word of God. And it's interesting because Joshua is told, don't let the people crowd around the priest or the Ark of the Covenant. Why? So all the people could see that it was now the Word of God that will be leading them into the promised land. And that's what leads us, right? Into the promised land that we're living today. Back in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was what? God. Who's leading us? Jesus, through His Word, opened up to us by His Spirit. He's guiding me in all that I need to do. And we need to remember that. He's the one. If someone is saying something that is contrary to the Scriptures, guess who's wrong? It's not God and His Word. They're wrong. So be careful with all the social media and all the stuff that's out there today. There is a wealth of false information out there. Stick to the Word of God. Now, the sheepfold is not the church. I know some like to see it that way, because Jesus is going to lead the sheep out of the sheepfold. It doesn't lead us out of the church. It doesn't make sense. Some say it's heaven, but it's not leading us out of heaven either, so that doesn't really fit. Think about it. John chapter 9, what was said there about the false shepherds, and here in John chapter 10. In John chapter 9, the man who was born blind that Jesus healed, who kicked him out of the synagogue? Oh, the Jewish religious leaders, right? He was rejected by the false religious leaders, the false shepherds. They put him out of their sheepfold, or the sheepfold, you might say, really, of Judaism, because they made it into something that God never intended it to be. All the rules and regulations that kept them from worshiping God. So here is this lost sheep, this man who was born blind, who now sees, kicked out of the synagogue, and who comes to him? Jesus does. The good shepherd comes, finds him, and makes him part of his sheepfold. That means that the sheepfold is Judaism and what they made it into. And who are the thieves and the robbers? I think they're the false teachers, the false prophets, even the false messiahs who had come and gone throughout the years. That's what Jeremiah warns us of. In Jeremiah 23, verses 1 and 2, this false religious system. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel against the shepherds who feed my people. You have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for the evil of your doing, says the Lord. Think about it. Every street corner in the southern kingdom of Judah, where the temple was located, had idols in it. False gods, every single one. And judgment was coming, and they were going into captivity about it. And we see today the same garbage that has come into the church, where there are teachers and churches that deny the blood atonement. They deny Jesus as God. And they're false shepherds, leading people away from God. They're scattering them. And if a pastor is not feeding his flock the word of God, he's not doing what he was primarily called to do. Think about it. As a kid or an adult, it's not eating healthy, taking care of himself, well-nourished. They become very sick, susceptible to disease. And what I see the disease is the false doctrines, the winds of doctrine that blow through the church. Do you think that we're protected from false doctrine from blowing through this church? Are you kidding me? I've seen it over the years. The thing is, I have an immune system that can fight the false doctrine, this false teaching. And it's called the Word of God opened up to me by the Spirit of God. It shows me. It protects me from the dangers that are out there. Again, so important. But if you're not fed well, you're open to all kinds of things. We have to feed people with the truths of God that are found in the Word of God. So when the lies of the devil are spoken, they're just exposed as counterfeit very easily. Now, you can look through the Old Testament. You'll see throughout the years, throughout their history, they were plagued with false teachers, false prophets. Again, it led them into all kinds of idolatry and immorality. We look at where the church is at today, it's easy to get discouraged. You know, we could become like Elijah. Oh, Lord, we alone only love you. There's nobody else. And what did God say to Elijah? I have 7,000 in Israel who haven't bowed the knee to Baal. Hey, there, I've got my faithful remnant. Never lose sight of that. God always has his remnant of believers. What we see here in John chapter 10, here's the shepherd coming back. And it's Jesus, and he's calling out to sheep from the sheepfold of Judaism, and they're coming and following their shepherd. They didn't listen to the thieves and robbers who were trying to steal their faith away and lead them away from God. Follow Jesus. In fact, in John 10:8, it says, "All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." Praise God for that. Are we listening to the voice of Jesus? One writer said, Israel's true shepherd had now come to the door of the sheepfold of Israel to call his sheep out of the restrictive, legalistic walls of Judaism into the green pastures of Christianity. Absolutely. Another writer said, God has his true sheep in the sheepfold of Judaism and Jesus as the good shepherd. The Messiah had come to lead them out of Judaism into a new covenant relationship with God, into a new sheepfold called Christianity through him. Over the centuries, many false messiahs and prophets had climbed the walls and carried off many sheep, but those shepherds were thieves and robbers, and the sheep only listened to them because they weren't God's sheep and proved it by following these false shepherds. Absolutely. God never intended Judaism to go down the path that it did. The religious leaders had taken it down a wrong path, and here comes Jesus to get them back in line. You could read in Jeremiah, where God talks about a new covenant that he's going to establish with Israel. Not on tablets of stone, but he's going to write those things upon our hearts. He's going to give us a new heart. And that's what he came to do. But they had moved so far away from God that they didn't want to have anything to do with the Messiah, with Jesus. They only wanted to focus on their religious traditions, which again had them in bondage. Now, within this sheepfold, where the shepherd comes, there's lots of different sheep, right? From different groups, different shepherds. You might call them believers and unbelievers within this sheepfold. And here comes Jesus, and he calls them, and who follows him? His sheep. Who's the doorkeeper then? We always think of Jesus being the doorkeeper. Maybe the doorkeeper is none other than John the Baptist, who had come to prepare the way for the Messiah. He's watching over the sheep of Israel until who? The Messiah comes. He said, I must decrease so he may increase. I'm watching these sheep. And now when the shepherd comes, he passes off the scene and the sheep follow their shepherd. Again, very Jewish territory. You think, well, what about us, Gentiles? What happens with us? Did he leave us out? Well, no, obviously not. Can I prove it? Yeah. In John 10, verse 16. Jesus said, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and I will hear, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. That's an amazing statement by Jesus. Jesus saying, there's another flock out there. They're going to come to me. They're not of this flock of Judaism. They're not Jews. Well, what's the other group? Gentiles. And what does he say? They're all going to become one. Wasn't that what Paul said in Ephesians? He's taken Jews, Gentiles, and brought them together in the body of Christ and made them one. One body, not separate. That's amazing to me. And it warms my heart to see the love that God has for us and for all people. So we enter through Jesus. He's our shepherd. We follow him. Next, we're going to look at the point of follow Jesus. Look at verse 4 here in John chapter 10. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. That is so awesome. I have seen this abused several times with spiritual leaders, shepherds, you might say, who are trying to drive the sheep. What animal is driven? Cattle. There's cattle drives. Go watch the old westerns, right? The Virginian, I love that. They do a lot of cattle drives. You don't drive sheep. What do? You lead sheep. They follow their shepherd. They're never pushed, they're led. And I know, being the under-shepherd here at Calvary, people sometimes get upset, you know, why am I doing everything, you know? And here's the reason. Sometimes when I ask people to do things, they feel pressured. And they get upset, or they do it because, oh man, the pastor asked me, I have to do it. No. And so this is kind of the way I do things here. I lead by example. People watch what I do.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.